as I was preparing this sermon here, the title of my sermon was, The Survey Says, and the answer is, number one answer is, at your word. And I want to look at, we're going to look at Luke chapter 5. But I wanted to kind of start out with, some of you have heard this testimony before, and I'm going to shorten it down a little bit. But when I was years ago, I was 30-some years old, and the Lord told me to organize a group of guys to go to Dallas, Texas in October of 1995, and we're going to go to a Promise Keepers conference. Well, I was the guy who didn't organize anything. I was the guy who was shy about everything, and so I just never volunteered. I was never the guy who said, pick me first, you know, unless it was sports. I'm like, yeah, pick me first. But I was never the guy who said, pick me first. And so he's telling me to organize this group to go to Dallas, Texas in 1995. 11 guys signed up. We jumped in a 1972 Winnebago that never should have made it to Dallas, let alone make it back. You could drive down the road and you see a hole in the floor and you can see the pavement flying by as you're going down the road. I mean, the thing was in rough shape. And we're picking up hitchhikers and we're cooking pizzas for them and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, but he tells me to go and do this. It's not something I'm comfortable doing. It's not something that I would naturally do. But at your word, I'll go. And so I did it. Went there. We were at the conference, made great friendships with these guys here. And they weren't all from our church at the time, but made great friendships with these guys, spending 3 days with them down and back. And we get back to Illinois, and now he's telling me, I said, what's next? And while I was at the conference, I mentioned this one other time, I went into their little bookstore thing that they had there, and they had a men's Bible study group called The Next Step. And so I bought The Next Step. But because I said, at your word, whatever it is that you want me to do, I will obey it. At your word, I came back, and I've mentioned before, for the next 10 years, I taught a Bible study with about 25 guys there consistently every week at this Bible study for 10 years until the Lord said, okay, I want you to move on to something different. Of course, then again, I said, at your word. And we did. But it never would have gotten me to where I am today if I hadn't said, at your word. Back then. I believe that there's more for the body of Christ. I believe that there's more for the people in this place here that God has in store for each and every one of us. But we have to get to the point where we say, at your word. We have to get to the point where we're not comfortable. Growth will require you to be uncomfortable. Whenever you're in a state of growth, your development, things like that, entering into something new, you're never comfortable. Any job I've ever had, the first 3 days, I hated it because I'm learning something new. I'm being stretched. I'm uncomfortable. But as we grow in the things of God, He'll make, once we grow and we say yes to what He's saying, we're saying at His word, at your word, God, we'll step out. He gives us every tool that we need to complete anything that it is that He's called us to do. We don't ever have to wonder whether we're going to have what it takes to complete what He's called us to do. Because if He's called you, He's also going to equip you. In Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 1, it says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret." You notice that anytime Jesus is around, He's always talking about teaching. He's either teaching or healing. to me, that's funny. It seemed like that's all He ever did. He's taught and He healed. But it says, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little bit from the land. And He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Here, let me just jump in your boat and why don't you push off so I can go out here and teach. Hey, why don't you go ahead and set up your portable sound system up here at the mall so I can go out there and teach the people that have gathered. Huh. He may ask us to do some things that maybe is a little bit different. Peter wasn't expecting that. And for him to get into a boat that's not his and say, hey, let's shove off. Okay. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, do you think Peter was a fisherman? Obviously, he was. And do you think Peter knew when the best time to fish was? When he said, we've been out all night, that was the best time to fish. As a fisherman, he's versed in this. He's been doing it for a long time. He's got partners in the business, James and John. They know what they're doing when it comes to fishing. And Jesus is telling him to go out at a time of day when it's not the best time to catch fish. And Peter knew that. Nevertheless, Peter says. And when I looked at that word, nevertheless, I looked that up and it said, in spite of that, in spite of what I know, in spite of the conditions, in spite of how we normally do things, in spite of the fact that we only usually catch fish at night, nevertheless, it doesn't matter what I see, it doesn't matter how I feel or what I hear, I recognize you as a great teacher. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. It's not logical to do this. It doesn't seem, he's a fisherman. So he says, at your word, I will let down your net, my nets. Basically, he's saying, whatever you say, I'll do it. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their nets were breaking, so they signaled to their partners, their business partners, in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken at a time when they were supposed to catch fish. Jesus says, let down your nets. Simon Peter says, at your word. We got things going on in our lives that just don't seem logical. The Bible says to do this, but that doesn't make sense. Given it shall be given. So if I'm giving everything away, that doesn't make sense. My bank account says I've only got 35 cents in it. Well, if he tells you to give 35 cents, you got to know that he's going to multiply that. You're never, if we take Jesus at his word, we never have to lack in any area of our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. And also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Brought their boats to land, their livelihood, parked it on the shore and said, we're following you now. Huh. Here you've got back in verse 5. It says here, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. These guys were already on the shore cleaning their nets. They're done. They don't have any, they're done for the day. They're going to go home and get some sleep. They've been out all night. We are done. But he's saying, I'll do whatever you say, no matter what the facts are telling me. No matter what the facts are telling you, do what God's word says. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do it? Has he spoken and he will not make it good? Whatever he says in his word, it's a done deal. He's going to come through. The facts may tell you something else, but facts can lie. Facts change. I'll do whatever you say, no matter how I feel. I've already started cleaning my nets. I'm pulling things in for the day. My nets are being cleaned already. It's a pain to take these things and put them back out there. Fish again at a time of day when I know there's no fish. But because you say to do it, I'm going to do it. And then once I catch the fist, I've got to bring him back in because he wasn't thinking initially that he was going to forsake all and follow Jesus. After he brings those fish in, now I got to bring them all back in again. I got to clean them again and get ready for the next day. And I've already lost about 5 hours sleep. I'm tired. All the excuses that we can come up with, we'll come up with them. Sometimes we come up with, and when I say these things, I'm talking about because I've been there, done that. Sometimes when we come up with excuses because I'm too tired. God, I know you want me to do this, but can I do it, tomorrow? But he's telling you to do it today. And if he says that, then we should say at his word. I've been there. I had a guy who next door neighbor who was dying of cancer. Lord told me to go talk to him. I didn't do it. He died. I beat myself up for months. And when I finally got out of the little pity party I was in, the Lord said, "Do you think you're the first one that I've told to go talk to him?" He's been spoken to. Now, if he received Jesus, I don't know. I don't know if he did or not. But he said, "I want to remind you, if I tell you to do something, you should say, at your word, and go do it." And the next time that happened, I had a friend of mine that went into the hospital. He was having open heart surgery. And I rushed down there. I prayed with him and talked to him a little bit and asked him if he had ever received Jesus as a Savior. He said, "Well, when I was a kid back in such and such church." And I said, "Okay, well, then we got some place to start." And I got an opportunity to minister to him there. That never, ever has happened to me ever again. Because when he tells me to do something, when it comes to sharing him with somebody else, at your word, I'm gone. I drove 3 hours to minister to somebody and to pray with them to receive Jesus here a few years ago. And they received Jesus as their Savior, and then a few days later, they died. Never again will I avoid when he tells me to minister to somebody in that fashion. I'll always say, at your word. And what's the end result? What was the end result of Peter saying, at your word? Man, he had so many fish, he couldn't get them in by himself. He had to call other boats to come help him get these fish in. When we tell God, yes, at your word, I will do, there's always blessing in it. There's always blessing in the doing. Always blessing in the doing what the word of God says to do. When I was a kid, and I carried this over to my kids, and I've mentioned this before, is that my mom and dad expected immediate obedience out of me. And I still do to this day. My dad's passed away, but my mom's still alive. Matter of fact, my mom and sister and another, and one of my mom's friends will be here next Sunday. But I still do what she tells me to do, and I don't question it. I act immediately. It's immediate obedience. And when I was a kid, I didn't have a choice. Because if I didn't act immediately, there were consequences to be suffered. And my dad, when it came to discipline, he was one of those guys. Now, I know this is being live streamed, but this has been years ago. There was a piece of leather about that long that my dad believed in. And you hope that he didn't have a lot to say, because he was one of those that had a word for every swat. Swat for every word. And so you hope that he didn't have a lot to say that day. But there were consequences to us not responding immediately. They didn't consider, what my thought process was. They didn't consider, how I was feeling or what I was doing at the time. They expected immediate obedience. Now, that today might not be considered good parenting, considering what your kid's going through at the moment, what they're doing at the moment. I think that when we teach our kids immediate obedience, that translates over into their adulthood. And I think it's a good training that if I tell you to do something, it means do it now. You've heard these things before. Little Ricky. Anybody ever watch I Love Lucy? Little Ricky is the, yeah. Well, it was my dad's turn to name a kid. And I've said before, he put the hill in hillbilly. So he said, "I think we'll name him Ricky Lee." So that's what I got named. Anyway. So, Little Ricky, you can decide if you want to go out in the street and play in traffic if you want. or you can decide if you want to put your hand on that hot stove if you want. No, stay out of that traffic. Don't you dare touch that hot stove. Stay away from that. And they expected me to obey immediately, and I did. But, you know, those two little things, I mean, they sound kind of ridiculous there. I mean, this kind of little sayings that we have translated over the years, but they're a little ridiculous. But I think this is how a lot of the Christian world believes that God should treat them. Well, I know that you're involved in this other thing over here, so yeah, go ahead and do that, and you can come and talk to me later on. Or I know you're involved in this over here, so yeah, it's okay. I'm not on anybody here. I'm speaking to me. It's okay if you go ahead and miss church for a couple of weeks. It's all right. No. What does His Word say about that? That's what we need to say. If the Word of God says it, that's it. That settles it. Now, I realize we go on vacations. I'm leaving in the end of September. Marvin Yoder will be here that Sunday that I'm gone. We're going out to North Carolina to a friend of mine's, not friend, my sister-in-law. She is a friend, but she's my sister-in-law, her daughter's wedding. And so we're going out to the wedding. But sometimes we treat the things that God is telling us as we're thinking, well, when you have time. Well, the Word of God doesn't teach us that. The Word of God teaches us to obey immediately. And, you know, and every time we read the Word of God, He's telling us something. He expects obedience, but we can decide whether we will or not. In Isaiah chapter 1, starting with verse 19, very familiar passage. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And when I look at that, I said, if you are willing, if you're willing to hear what I have to say, if you're willing to say at your word, God, and you're obedient, that you're ready to act. So if you're willing to say at your word and you're ready to act on what the word of God is saying, then He's saying, you will eat the good of the land. And if we look back in the days of the children of Israel, the good of the land, it was talking about material possessions. It was for them, it was talking about water and wheat and barley and fig trees, olive trees, you know, animals, all those different things. Material blessings that God provides through the abundance of the earth. If we're willing and we're obedient to do what the Word of God says, there is blessing in it. Who wants to be blessed? I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed, spirit, soul, and body, so that I can be a blessing in many areas. In Hebrews chapter 10, we kind of touched on this here a little bit earlier today. Paul's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another. Let us take into account the needs of others and think about them. That's what let us consider means. Let's take into account the needs of others and think about them in order to what? In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. This verse isn't giving us options, it's telling us something to do. Did you know, as we're reading this verse, it's not saying, here's something you may want to do. It's saying, here's what you need to do. And when we do, there's blessing in the doing. Because if we look at this verse here and we say, and let us consider one another, if I'm considering someone else, then they're considering me also. And what I'm going through. And then it's telling us to stir up love and good works. If they're trying to stir up love and good works, then I'm trying to stir up love and good works. We're all in this thing together. And why are we doing this? Well, and then it's saying, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Come together. Meet together. be a part of one another's lives. As Christ followers, if you look in the second chapter of Acts toward the end there, it said they met daily eating together, listening to the apostles' teaching. And it said people were added to their number daily. The Bible is full of getting together, meeting together in unity, spending time with one another, getting to know one another. This isn't a McDonald's drive-through happy meal where you're coming through there, grab your little snack, and go out the door. There's too many churches like that. And we need to be on purpose and intentional about being a part of one another's lives. Why? Because the Word of God right here is telling us to. And we should be saying, at your word, I'm going to be here. I'm not going to forsake the assembling of myself together with other people. And as a matter of fact, God, at your word, I'm going to be here and I want to be an encouragement to others. I want to bring my supply. Help me to multiply my supply so I can continue to be an encouragement to other people. Because, man, he's coming. And there's stuff that people are going through here that you may have already gone through that you can be an encouragement to them. You can build them up. But it's work sometimes. Considering one another, looking out for the needs that they have, sometimes that requires effort. But you know what? To do the things of God, sometimes it is effort. Sometimes it is hard. But there's benefit in the doing. There's blessing in the doing. I mean, looking at this verse up here, if we want to take it to our modern day, we could say, well, once again, these are my excuses. And if you feel like they're hitting home, hey, we're in this boat together. I don't want to go to church regularly. I can watch it on TV now. Since COVID, we can watch it on TV. And not only can I watch it on TV, but I can do it in my pajamas eating Cap'n Crunch peanut butter cereal. Let's get specific. It's Cap'n Crunch peanut butter over any others. But it's easier just to sit at home. But my word says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Get together. Now, we're using the church setting, but there are other settings that we can get together in. But just for example here, we're using the church setting. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's not optional for a believer. That's not optional for a Christ follower. I don't feel like going to church. I'm tired. I've been working all day. I've got to prepare for tomorrow's job. We're going out and I got to work in the hot sun and I'm going to get hot and tired and even more. So I want to stay home and just relax tonight. It's Wednesday night. Let me relax. I've said that. I worked 12-hour days for 10 years. I'm tired on Wednesday night. I don't want to go. But Rick, you're the praise and worship leader. You have to go. And so I go, and then there was blessing in the doing. But I said, at your word, I'm not going to forsake the assembling of myself with other believers. All the examples, just those few examples that I gave right there, I wasn't throwing them at anybody here. That's my life. And if it resonates with you, like I said, we're in the same boat. And I think we've all been in that boat from time to time. When we do meet together, I mean, we could look at it like this. We meet 52 times a year in this place. Now, if you come Wednesdays and you come to prayer group, then we're meeting 156 times a year, almost half the year. We're spending time with each other. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day coming. Exhorting one another, building one another up, pushing each other on to greater things, to greater heights. In Mark chapter 16, and it's talking about here, going to all the world, preach the gospel, and talking about baptizing. And then it gets on down here. It says, these signs will follow those who believe. Those who believe, those believers, those Christ followers. First of all, he's telling us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It wasn't optional. There was no option there. As a Christ follower, when he says something like that, you don't have a choice. If Jesus is your Savior, whatever this word says, the Bible says, you don't have a choice. Are we 100% at it? No. I've failed many a time. But I endeavor to do what God's word tells me to do. But as believers, we don't have a choice. But in this section here, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then it talks about these signs will follow those who believe. So if these signs follow those who believe, you don't have an option. It's not optional for these signs in your life either. Well, what are the signs? They'll cast out demons. Huh. I've seen it done. I've been around people who I believe were demon-possessed. I had one that was in a hospital that I believe he was, and I ended up talking to another minister. I was young at the time. I talked to another minister, and I said, what if the person feels content with that demon in them, with that spirit in them? They don't want it to go. Okay. He said, well, there's not a lot you can do at that point. But it says they'll cast out demons. We can get into that. That's a whole other topic there. We'll get into that another time. He says they'll speak with new tongues. I'm going to say something that could be controversial in some people's books. I don't believe that's talking about speaking in tongues. Crickets? I believe it's talking about your whole way of thinking, and your whole way of thinking changes. These signs will follow those who believe. I won't respond, I won't think, and I won't talk the way that I used to think and talk. That's another topic for another day too. We can talk about that later. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it won't harm them. I never thought about this until we had a discussion here just a few days ago. Medicines with side effects. They'll drink anything deadly that won't harm them. So if we take a medicine that supposedly has, because you listen to any commercial about any medication, it's got 45 different side effects that this thing's going to cause, could cause. So we got to believe that when we take that medication, if we're taking that medication, we put it into our bodies, it only affects the area that it's supposed to affect. It only kills what it's supposed to kill. It won't kill anything that is good, anything that is normal, anything that is functioning properly in our bodies. If they drink anything deadly, it won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These aren't optional for the believer. If you're a casual believer, if you're a casual person who looks at this, and we've got some people who say, go into all the world and preach the gospel and talking about baptism and all that type of thing, but they don't want to believe in laying hands on the sick, casting out demons. No, that other part's not optional for the believer. If you believe that you can go into all the world and preach the gospel, people can be born again, well then as a believer, you have to believe the other stuff too. It's not optional. At your word. There's benefit in the doing. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, they're not optional, considers them not optional. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it it had been founded on the rock. No matter what you're going through, you can't be shaken. No matter what's happening around you, at your word, God, I will do. I will go. I will hear your words and I will do them at your word. And it doesn't matter what's happening around me. I'll stand tall. The weeds can grow all around me and it doesn't matter. I'm going to stand here because your word's true. We look at tornadoes a lot of times. Cause massive destruction. But in the middle of that destruction, there's one little phone booth there, not a glasses phone booth. Why did I say phone? Do we have phone booths anymore? A phone booth there, not a pane of glass is broken. The wires are still going to it. It doesn't seem like anything is damaged at all in the midst of all of that. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter that the floods are coming, that the winds are blowing, that the rain is beating upon your house. It doesn't matter because I'm going to stand. I will honor your word. I will act upon your word, and nothing will knock me off my square. That's a prison term. Nothing will knock me off my square. At your word, I'll do it, and I know that I'll make it through whatever the situation may be. I was reading this story, and I think many of you have probably heard this before, but there was this forest ranger, and they had this forest fire, and they were walking through the forest after the fire had been extinguished, and they came around this one tree here, and they saw this bird there, this petrified bird. And it looked kind of nasty there. And he took a stick and he just kind of knocked the bird over. And out from underneath its wings, these little chicks come running up out of there. And like I said, he gently struck it. The three chicks run out and the mother, of course, was dead. But the loving mother was keenly aware of the impending danger and had carried her offspring to the base of that tree and had gathered them under her wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise. And then it said she could have flown to safety, but had refused to abandon her babies. Then the blaze had arisen and the heat had scorched her small body. And the mother remained steadfast because she had been willing to die so those under the covering of her wings could live. He will cover us with his feathers, and under his wings we'll find refuge. Being loved this much should make a difference in your life. Remember the one who loves you, and then be different because of it. In Psalm 91, it says, "He who takes refuge in the shelter of the Most High will be safe in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say to the Eternal, 'My shelter, my mighty fortress, my God, I place my trust in you,' like a bird protecting its young. God will cover you with his feathers, will protect you under his wings. His faithfulness will form a shield around you, a rock solid wall to protect you. At your word, I will do whatever it is you ask me to do. I won't waver. I won't give excuses. I won't look at another situation and think, that looks more fun, I'm going to go do that. Whatever you're asking me to do, whatever your word says to do, that I will do. In John 15, 10 through 14, it says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You are my friends if you do what I command you at your word." It's not optional. Genesis 22, 17 through 18, it says, "I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of the enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." At your word, there's blessing in the doing. There's blessing in keeping the word of God. There's blessing in your life because he said it and you say, at your word. I've got a number of other verses here that we could go into that talk about the blessing by saying, at your word, God. But we have to get to the point where the word of God does dominate our lives. We can't treat the word of God as something that is optional. We can't treat the word of God as something as I'll get to that later. And we can't look at the word of God thinking, I already know that. We start looking at the word of God as, I already know that. If you're here, you'll never go here. But we have to take the word of God for what it says. And if the word of God is speaking to us to do or to say something, just like Peter, in the boat there with Jesus. At your word, I'll go out into the deep and I'll cast my nets. It doesn't make sense. This isn't the right time to be fishing, but at your word, I'll do it. And you know what? If we get to the point where we say, at your word, no matter what the word says, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what we're doing, if we say, at your word, there's blessing in the doing. We will be blessed all the days of our lives. I'm a Christ follower, a Christian. If you're a Christian, you profess to be a Christ follower. And the things for a Christ follower that are in the Word of God are not optional. If He tells you not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, it's not optional. If He tells you to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, it's not optional. If He tells you to go preach the gospel to someone, it's not optional. You don't, as a Christ follower, you don't have a choice. Now, to get to that point, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have to spend time with Him. We have to develop a relationship with Him. We have to learn to fall in love with Jesus and not this world. We've gotten in love with the world. The church, I'm not saying the church in general, to a degree, loves the world. We love the pleasures of the world. And I like to have fun. I want to go bungee jumping. And Carrie came in here. I didn't realize she was back. I will at some point go bungee jumping. But facing any situation, we need to look at it. What does the Word of God say? And if the Word of God says it, our response should be, at your word. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had here together this morning. And Father, I thank you that your word is true. I thank you that whatever it is that we face, you're reminding us that, just as Peter said, at your word. Nevertheless, never mind whatever else is going on, but because you said it, I'm going to do it. Help us, Father, as believers, as Christians, as Christ followers, to gain an understanding that the Word of God in our lives is not optional. When you say to do something, we don't have a choice other than to do what you said to do. And I thank you, Father, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because we don't get it perfect all the time, Father. You know that. And we don't need to walk out of here feeling condemned that we're not measuring up. But Father, we know that as we press into your word and your Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth, we know that we press and step closer to what it is that you ask us to be and to do. So as we leave this place here today, Father, we want to say, at your word, whatever it is that we encounter.